Our sermon text for this Sunday morning, the seventh Sunday after Easter, also known as Mother's Day, will be taken from the Acts of the Apostles, so you can remain seated and relax. The Acts of the Apostles, we're going to read from chapter 16. We're going to read verses 16 through 34, and we're going to read this in Jesus' name. And it came to pass, as we went prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master such gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she for many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them to the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said unto them, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We ask by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that you would sanctify us in the truth. For we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very powerful account of how God operates in and through the body of Christ. Sometimes I would like to be protected to the point where I would have no more struggles. That I wouldn't have to go through difficulties. That everything would be kind of rosy and peachy. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be nice if we all woke up tomorrow morning and our checkbooks were full to the brim? We just had more money than we knew what to do with. Wouldn't it be great if we went out and our car not only started, but it smelled like a brand new car and everything just went splendid? Wouldn't it be great if there was no more construction or anything going on in Hancock and we could just cruise through town without a headache? Well, this isn't that bad. Wouldn't it be great if when we got up in the morning, our children would look at us and smile and say, Hello, Mom and Dad, I will highly respect you and honor you today. What must I do for you? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if you woke up in the morning and your husband looked across at you and said, My love, my life has been complete because you're here, and I would never dream of spending one moment away from you. I want to serve you in every way. Or vice versa. That's not reality. The reality of it is that we have been given one another to encourage one another in and through this life. The reality is we do live in a fallen world, though we'd like to pretend we don't. But God has allowed us to have the strength and the power of His Holy Spirit and also given us the gift of the body of Christ to encourage us in and through these times. There are some good times too, aren't there? And there are some difficult times. I remember when I was a young man and I would be laying at home sick. And I would actually get such bad headaches and stuff, you know, when you get the flu, that I would roll my eyes back in my head to see if the headache was still there. And yeah, it was there, you know. And then I'd always remind myself, if I wasn't sick, I would never appreciate feeling good. Sometimes the difficulties make us appreciate the good things in our life, too. Going through some of the struggles that I've been through in my life, I have grown to appreciate my wife more and more. And it's interesting because I think we lose sight of that as human beings. Paul and Silas, they're in Philippi. They're going about God's work. They're doing a great thing. You think that, well, you know, the light is just shining on them and they're looking splendid and everything's going to be rosy for them because they're just out there preaching the gospel. First and foremost, the adversary doesn't like that, does he? Then human beings also don't like to have their systems changed. There were some people here that were profiting off of a woman that had the ability, I believe, by the adversary to actually be a fortune teller, to see into the future. And they were actually gaining from this. They didn't have a concern for her. They didn't even have a concern for other people. It was more or less for their own pocket. And so when you go into a certain area and you start now doing things that will hinder people in their performance or in their profit, they get pretty upset at you. Paul and Silas, they're in Philippi, and they're out there preaching the word. And guess what happens? It came to pass as they went to prayer, a certain damsel, the servant woman, she was possessed of the spirit, a negative spirit, an evil spirit, that actually gave her the ability for soothsaying or fortune telling. She had the ability to predict what was going to happen. Oftentimes, human beings will take every sign as a sign of life, and it doesn't have to be. We are instructed, even by the Holy Scriptures, to test the spirits, to find out if they are of God. Because we need to remember, there is also the negative aspect to this world, too. And I find it quite interesting because even when we deal with people in this world, and we need to do it lovingly, we need to do it with ginger hands, no doubt about it, but we can encounter many people that will tell you there is no such thing of God. But yet those very same people will admit, often, that there is the adversary. It goes to show our negative state often, how we're willing to believe in the negative, but yet lack to believe in the positive. Really, it comes down to the summation is what is evil? Evil in reality is the lack of good, the lack of God itself. And so when we try to define in that way, we need to remember that even to have darkness is to have the lack of light. And so we turn around and this person, she had this ability. She was following after Paul and Silas and she kept continuing to proclaim. Which is interesting. She is proclaiming the truth. She is proclaiming the truth. These men are servants of the Most High God. They are the servants of the Most High God, which shows unto this the way of salvation. And it's interesting. You can even account this with Jesus when he was walking upon this earth in his ministry. How many of those evil spirits came and fell before him? Acknowledging who he is. But yet it's an interesting part here because this starts to drive Paul nuts. Paul knows who he is. Paul knows who he serves. Paul is firm and strong by the gift of God of faith that has been given to him to know who he is and what his mission is. Paul had a special ability, or I shouldn't even say a special ability, but he was very alert of the gifts that God had given to him. He did not need an adversary, an evil spirit, confirmation. He did not need this. See, often human beings, we look for support, don't we? But when you turn around and you actually start following what's going on here, you can almost understand, in human hearts, we get sick of things. And I'm talking about the human being. We get sick of things really fast. And if someone starts bragging about something to the point where it becomes nauseating, nobody will listen anymore. See, it's an interesting thing. If you were to deal with the devil never, never will tell you to stop sinning. He's not going to tell you that. The devil doesn't say, oh, just stop sinning. He just says, do it later. Procrastination, do it later. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it today. You can take care of this tomorrow. The fact of it is, the devil isn't trying to derive our attention away. Rather, he's saying you can do it later. And you come to this point where this demon or this evil one that's found within this woman is out there actually proclaiming and speaking so boldly that now you can imagine that the hearts are getting turned off. Now, maybe I'm crazy and you can say that, it's fine. But how many of us, if we see street preachers that are going on and on and on, how many of us flock to them? If people come running to us and start sharing all kinds of stuff on the street, how many of us really have that spirit where we want to go be with them and stay with them? How many times, if we were to be honest, we'd say, well, they're a little different. I'm going to just keep my pace away from them. It can actually drive people away when you get a little exuberant. But the fact of it is, Paul did not need the testimony of this evil one. Paul understood that this woman was not acting of her own accord. He had an inspiration of the Spirit, and he turns around and he shows. He shows actually how often, easily, we can be deceived. Who would ever think this? He turns around and he says to that evil spirit, come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And he does. Now the real ministry can begin. The real ministry can begin. Because the show is over and all the fancy stuff is over. All the publishing of it is over. Now we're going to get to the heart of the ministry. Paul has exposed this for the falseness that it is. And he, in reality, drives this one out. And guess what? He shows, or this act shows, where the people's heart is. And the people are upset, especially those that held this woman in slavery. Because they were going to lose their game. And so now they get all fired up, and they're all upset at Paul and Silas, so they drag them to the marketplace, because now the governors and all those above them were probably in the marketplace, watching the exchanges, watching the cleanliness of everything, making sure everybody's following all the rules. So they bring them to this marketplace, and they make this accusation, saying, these individuals who are Jews, they're bringing into our territory a custom that we're not used to. One that should not govern us. It is not right for us to observe these things. The multitude now gets this mob mentality. And it's interesting. We have that tendency still in this day and age. Some people will be in a gathering of some sort, revolting against something, and honestly, they don't know nothing about it. They get caught up in the mob mentality. We have this within a lot of our different areas of our life, where people get on the bandwagon of something that they don't even understand, because it's the in thing. So then they turn around, and they actually start really seeking for them to be destroyed. These masters now actually say, take them and beat them. Beat them. And throw them into prison. So then, when the jailer receives these ones, he understands how powerful this is, how upset these magistrates are, so he takes and puts them in the inner prison where it would be more and more secure. Very dark, dismal, cold, damp place. Not a very good place, that's for sure. Now you turn around and you put yourself, if you could for a moment, in Paul's shoes. How would you be feeling? What did I do? You can imagine Paul, if he's being in his humanness. Guess he's often in his humanness. What did I do? I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought everything was supposed to go my way. You know, when you're a Christian, you get a new Cadillac and everything goes well. Paul and Silas are in the deep, dark trenches of that prison, bound up, stocks upon their feet, not very comfortable at all, not able to go anywhere. But where do we find them? It says that at midnight, in the darkest time, in the darkest part of the prison, in the coldest and wet and dampness of that prison, it says, Paul and Silas, what are they doing? They're praying. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what do we do in the darkest times of our life? Do we turn inward? Do we battle with ourselves? Do we watch people run through the struggle and say, well, you better help yourself? What do we do in these times? It says, Paul and Silas, in the darkest time, they turned to prayer. They're praying. And then they are doing what? Singing. But it's not just, you know, old rugged cross here. They're singing praises. They are rejoicing in the Lord in this circumstance. And this is a powerful testimony. It is a powerful testimony for each and every one that is found within that prisoner, the prisoners themselves, found in the same straits that they're in. It is a powerful testimony for those that were a little bit above them and being guarding those individuals. It is a powerful testimony for you and I. This is not Paul by his own strength. This is not Silas by his own strength. This is the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. That in the midst of the darkest time, they have this ability to sing and to praise their God. And God will answer to this. Do we realize, whatever we may be going through, do we realize our lives are a living testimony for the world around us? Do we realize the gift that has been given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit? Not every one of us has a rosy path. Not every one of us has a squeaky clean history, do we? I don't. But God has brought us through these things that we may encourage the body, that we may strengthen the body, that we may go forward in the power of His Holy Spirit and glorify Him. In the midst of this, they are praying and they are praising their God. And it says, suddenly, in the heart of this moment, suddenly, there is a great earthquake. Have you ever experienced this in your life? I'm not talking about real earthly earthquake here. This is the here, yes. But something that has shook up your life. Something that has busted open doors that you never thought could be opened. Something that has just revealed to you the truth and brought to you the ability to go where you need to go, to reach the people you need to reach, to do the things you need to do. And this is our God. He allows us to take place in our life. We are not held prisoners to our past. We are not held prisoners to our past sins or our struggles. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, because He has given us all good things. Do we allow these times to bring Him honor and glory? Do we allow our circumstances to bring Him honor and glory? Or are we still looking inward and we're too ashamed? God has allowed these circumstances so that we may continue to show the power and the might of Him. That we could even just speak to the world in volume, in spite of myself, God has allowed me to be victorious. Earthquake comes along, shakes open all the prison doors, each and every one of them. And their bands were loosened, everybody's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, he was awakening out of the sleep, and he saw the prison doors open, didn't he? And instantly he's going to go and take his own life, because he understood what it meant. That if he allowed these individuals to escape, the Roman government would come in and kill them. They would annihilate them. And he was going to do this himself. That it would not be done to him. Because he saw no other way out. And that's what human beings often do. When we see no other way out, we're ready to do whatever it takes. And sadly enough, we have that in this world so bad. We often are so concerned with our own lives that we don't see the people around us that are just swimming in their fears, swimming in reality in all their struggles, trying to tread water of life. But God has an answer. And we, each and every one of us in Jesus Christ, we are that answer. We are that answer, whether you like it, believe it or not, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God in our lives, we are the answer to this world. It is not I working, but it is Christ in us. And why I say this is, take for a moment, what if Paul kept his mouth shut? Because Paul was just too busy. Paul was just in awe because these things are off his hands now. What if he kept his mouth shut? For 1 minute, if Paul had kept his mouth shut, that man would have taken his life. He would have taken his life. This is how serious it is. God is operating in and through us. He operates through means by the power of His Holy Spirit. We are, if we could say it, the voice piece. Yes, yes, we'll never take credit away from God. Luther himself says that God infuses the grace into the believer's heart, but God has made us the mouthpiece of this world. This man would have taken his life. In Jesse's humanness, he'd say, serves him right. He was just had me locked up in jail anyways. Who would he? But once again, through prayer, through praising, through the power and the might of God, the doors are sprung open. This man sees his destiny according to his own mind, and he's ready to end it. And Paul cries. He cries with a loud voice. You understand the passion he has, the caring he has, the desire he has, even for this Roman soldier. He cries with a loud voice, do yourself no harm. Do not kill yourself. And he says, because we are all here. Paul is in the presence and in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does he need to fear? If God be for us, isn't Paul the one that wrote that? If God be for us, who can be against us? Jesse in his flesh sees that door open. He's running for that door because I got to get out before it closes. God opened that door. I remember Brother Arvo opening his sermons years ago in the name of the one that opens the door that nobody can close and the one that closes the door that nobody can open. That is our God. He opened those doors. Paul and Silas did not have to run. They were in the presence of the living God. And so they turn around and he says, do yourself no harm. We didn't go anywhere because we're not afraid. We're here. He called for a light. He springs in. He's trembling. And actually, you can understand it with the adrenaline. He falls to the ground. He falls to the ground. He can't believe it. He was ready to kill himself. Ready to kill himself. He falls to the ground. And they brought him out. He turns around. He asks this question. This jailer asks this question. He says, what must I do to be saved? Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the most beautiful question in the world. When one would turn to another and say, what must I do to be saved? And I'll tell you what you've got to do. Human beings have a list, don't we? Do enough good works. Write a big enough check. Do enough penance. Say the rosary enough. Do all these things, these acts of human beings. They can be beautiful traditions. They can be all kinds of things. But the fact of it is, we do have our standard list, don't we? And they're all garbage. And you have two individuals that are being asked one question. Do that in one of our congregations. It's pretty interesting. What must I do to be saved? Well, you need to have your sins forgiven by me. You need this guy to lay his hands on you. You need this to happen. Well, let's go over across the street. Well, you got to speak in tongues. You got to do this. Go another street. You got to be baptized by me, and you got to do all this. We have all these stipulations as human beings what we must do. But is that what Paul and Silas say? Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they answer in unison. Together, there is no division between Paul and Silas. Because they have the same heart, the concern for the one that was going to take his own life. This is the power of God. And we have that same concern when we are focused in Christ. We have that same concern. Believe. They said, plural, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that faith will come to your home. That faith will come to your home. Brothers and sisters in Christ, is there anything more beautiful? Mothers, we celebrate you today. But what would be your earnest heart's desire for every one of your children? That they would have faith. Fathers, I ask the same. In June, we'll take a day for that. You would ask the same. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and your house will be saved. And then they turn around, and what do? They say, well, now you're all done? No. They spake. They encouraged him. They spoke unto him, not their traditions, not their systems, not the ideas of men. They spoke unto him what? The word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing of what? The word of God. We have some wonderful things in our tradition. We have some powerful things. But nothing replaces that atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we proclaim and we share, even on a day like communion, that we can believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' precious name and shed blood. No doubt about it, but it is not just for us. He died for what? The sins of the world. But how will they hear if we don't share? They talk about a Lestadius revival back in years ago in the 1800s, 1900s early, where they actually came out of the church in Calumet and they were proclaiming to the world around them, believe your sins forgiven. Because it was not a standard of man, it was not a stipulation of man, but rather it was the proclamation of God. That we could enter into a sin-cursed world and we could proclaim to them the goodness that one would hear and hearing this would believe. Nothing has changed. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they took and they shared with him this word and all that were in his house. This word had an impact. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Now he turns around and washes them. This jailer serves them. And it says, and he was baptized. He was baptized and what? And all his. All of his. This is a powerful testimony of infant baptism. It does not give an age of accountability here. It doesn't do any of that because it's not about what we can do for God. It is about what He has done for us. It is a covenant of that union, acknowledgement of that union of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Lydia's household was baptized. This household was baptized. And we come to this great understanding in our lives. Well, see, we've got to put in the stipulation of age of accountability. And you may think I'm making fun of you. Show me. Show me from Scripture. One of my dearest friends in Sri Lanka has that understanding. And when I finally got him in my living room and said, show me. Show me from Scripture. He said, brother, I cannot. When an Israelite child, male child, was circumcised. When was it done? 8 days. The old covenant. It didn't have anything to do about the child doing something for God. We need to realize what God has done for us. What God has done for us. We are blessed. He brought them into his house. He set meat before them and they rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Faith came to that house. Praise God. We have a gift beyond measure to offer to this world, and it is the living faith that we have been given. And we have no other ability but through Him to share it with the world around us. May we enter out into this world proclaiming the truth. May each and every one of us today come here in boldness, understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has given His body and His blood in our benefit. May each and every one of us come here today boldly understanding that your sins are forgiven because Jesus has paid for them. May each and every one of us be encouraged by that great gift. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.